We're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 7 this morning, 2 Samuel in chapter 7. And in 2 Samuel in chapter 7, we'll see a few things here interesting. And I know here we are in January. I don't know where last year went. It just kind of vanished on us. The older you get, you know, the quicker the years go. And so for most of us, they're moving right along. And look in 2 Samuel in chapter 7 and verse 1. The Word of God says, "And it came to pass," that's always a good statement to read, and because everything comes to pass, amen. "And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." Now, Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord God, for these that have come out for Sunday school, and thank you for a book that we can look into and, God, get instruction from. And we pray, God, that'll be the case this morning as your people come in and bow their head and their heart and ask you, God, to do for them what I sure cannot, and that is change them. God, might it be a change. It'll show up when you come back and get us in a change. It'll show up for our good at the judgment seat of Christ one day soon, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now, in 2 Samuel in chapter 7 and in verse 1 and 2, I want to just talk about simply what I've entitled. And here it is. This is the when the Lord opened my eyes to this truth in the Word of God, this is the first thing that came to mind. And so I titled this teaching, here it is, Something for God. Amen. Just something. Amen. I mean, here we are down here, and you know what? Something for God. You know what David wanted to do? He wanted to do something for God. And I don't understand this generation of Christianity. Well, I do because I know what the Bible says about them. But we live in a generation of Christianity where nobody does anything for God. They do nothing for God at best. And here's the king, King David, and the thought came to him as he's dwelling in this cedar house, something for God. Now you think about David and his relationship to God. His relationship to God was very unique. Some people, when they got before God, they fell on their face. Some people, when they got before God, they got on their knees and they spread their hands abroad and began to talk to God. Amen. Some people, when they got before God, they wept before God. Other people, you know, they got before God, they praised Him. All kinds of reactions to when a person got before God. But you know, David was a weird fella in this way. He got before God, and you know what he does? He goes in there and sits down, and it's almost as if though God's across from him, and he sits down, and he begins to talk to God. Amen. Now, that's a good relationship.
Amen.
I don't think it can get much better than that. I mean, almost like a friendship, you know. Of course, we know David was a man after God's own heart. We know David, was unique in that he thought like God, and he likened people unto sheep, and he was a shepherd. And here he goes, and he sits before God, and he begins to talk to him. The Bible says that here in verse 1, he sat down before God. So let's look at this thing of something for God. I mean, it's a new year. Last year, I don't know what you did for God. Maybe you did something for God last year. Maybe you didn't do nothing for God last year. Paul says over there in one place, he says, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And so, you know, Paul says, one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to forget. I can't do nothing about the past, but I can do something about the future.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what you can't do? You can't do anything about 2017. It's gone, but you can do something about 2018. You say, what should I do about 2018? How about something for God?
Amen.
Now, I know you've done something for you. You do something for you every day because you love you. But you got to remember, if you're saved, God bought you. You're bought with the blood of Christ. You don't belong to you, but you belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. He purchased you. He bought you. You're a servant. He's your master. Amen. He's the Father. You're the Son. You know what He requires? Obedience. Amen. And here's David, and you know what he wants? David just wants to be obedient to his master, wants to be obedient to his father, if you will. And so we're going to talk a little bit about something for God. Now, it's not a strange thing. In John chapter 6 and in verse 9, you've got the little lad. And you know what he wanted to do? Something for God. So he gave his lunch.
Amen.
Amen. You know what you've got over there in John, in the book of John, a little further on back there? You've got a woman that had an alabaster box and she broke it and she anointed the Lord's feet with oil. Amen. Why did she do that? She just wanted to do something for God. See, you find something that God's done something. God's done something for somebody in that Word of God. The normal response is to want to do something for Him back. Amen. It'd be like if your house was on fire. And the thing was burning, and you're asleep, and I go by your house, and that thing's just a roaring. And I go to your front door, and I beat on that thing, and man, you start screaming from the second story, amen, and I find a ladder and climb up there and rescue you and get you out of that house. I'll tell you what, you'd want to do something for me,
yep.
Right? Well, you were going to hell. You was as good as burning, amen. And you was never going to come out. And if you're here this morning and you're saved, God rescued you from hell. Amen. He's done much for you. Now, what have you done for Him?
Amen.
I'll just remind you, you got everything when you got Jesus Christ, but what did He get from you?
Amen.
Really, what did He get from you? I'll tell you what He gets from most. Zip. He gets fire insurance.
Yeah.
Amen. That's how Christianity thinks. Well, He saved me from hell. I'm glad. Thanks, God. And they go on and live their life the same way they lived it before they supposedly got saved. Amen. People in the Bible, when they met Jesus Christ, you know what it caused them to do? It caused change in them. They were no longer selfish, but rather selfless, and went out and did something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how about you? What have you done for God? What did you do last year for Jesus Christ? I didn't ask you what you did for you. I know you did plenty for you because you love you.
That's it.
I said, what'd you do for Him? Amen. Something. Something is a substance or material thing, unknown, intermediate, or unspecified. It is a little. It is an indefinite quality. In other words, it can be something from the smallest thing to a great thing, but do something for God. Amen. And the Bible's full of it. And so here what you've got is you've got David sitting here and you see his priority. He wanted to do something for God, something for Him. Why? Because, I mean, think about it. God did so much for him. He wanted his priority. You see his plan. What was his plan? He wanted to do something for God while he was still living. His priority was, I'm going to die one of these days. And you, guess what? Here's a good Sunday school lesson to just encourage everybody. You're all going to die.
Amen.
You're going to stop breathing. Amen. And you know what? Your priority before you die ought to be to do something for God.
Amen.
And so you see his priority. You see his plan was to do it before he died, while he was living. And then you see God promoted him for just wanting to do something for him. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 16. The Bible says, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Now, you know the story here, and I ain't got time to develop this thing for lack of time, but I'll tell you really what happened here was, here's a man that God had done a lot for, and he wanted to do something for God, and so you know what he did? He says, I want to build you a house. Nathan the prophet comes to him, and he says, you go tell David, thou shalt not build a house for me, because thou art a bloody man. Thou hast had many wars, and he says, but thy son is going to build a house for me, and he's going to come forth from thy loins, and I'm going to establish his kingdom and his house. And he says, you'll never want for a son to sit on a throne, and that thing runs all the way through a strain till we get to Jesus Christ sitting on a throne in the millennial reign. Amen, amen, amen. And it was a promise that was made back here. And you know why we've got that promise that of Jesus Christ sitting on a throne in the millennial reign? Let me tell you why. One man decided I wanted to do something for God.
Amen.
Now, how about that?
Good.
Isn't that wild?
Good.
A man one day said, I just want to do something for God. And now we've got Jesus Christ going to sit on a throne.
Amen.
On the Mount of Olives in the millennial reign.
Amen.
How about that? Because of one man's decision to do something for God. David said, I want to build you a house. God said, you're not going to build it, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Just because you wanted to build me a house, I'm going to build you a house.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
And boy, what a house he built him.
Yeah.
That thing's going on and on and on all these years, man. Thousands of years. You say, why? Because one man wanted to do something for God.
Amen.
So let's look at this thing. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies." Now, first thing I want you to notice here, it says, when the king sat in, look at it, his house.
Yep.
His house. You see his prosperity. You know what you see? You see a man that is sitting in a place that had prospered. God had given him his own house. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Listen, if you've got a roof over your head this morning, your prosperity, in case you don't know it, comes from God. I wish people would get that. His house. Prosperity is advance or gain in anything good or desirable. Look in 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. Now, I'm talking about something for God. I wish that every person in here this morning would do something for God this year. Just something. Anything. 1 Corinthians in chapter 16 and verse 2. The Word of God says this: "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store," talking about tithing and giving. Now look at it. "As God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." You say, what are you talking about? You know what God tells us? He says, you lay in store at the beginning of the week that which God has prospered us. You say, what do you mean? I mean, your prosperity comes from God.
Amen.
You understand that? I've had people in time past say, well, I worked for this and I worked for that. God gave you the strength to do it. God lets you breathe His air. The Bible says, "In Him we live, move, and have our being, and by Him all things consist." Amen. You say, what's that mean? That means you woke up and breathed His air this morning because of the goodness of God. You see here that King David's sitting, and you see his prosperity. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 1, not only do you see his house, but I don't think he was sitting on the floor in a big empty shell. You know what else you see when you see that statement, his house? You see he had possessions. I guarantee you this, his house was full of possessions.
Yeah.
And you know what? So is yours. And in Genesis in chapter 14, look back here, Genesis in chapter 14. Now I'm talking about something for God. Genesis in chapter 14 and verse 21, the Word of God says this: "And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I've made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the man which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion." You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, you notice something here. You know what he said? He says, I'm not taking nothing from you because I don't want you to say that you made me rich. Because you know what he said? He says, I know the one that made me rich was God.
Amen.
The possessions come from God. Your prosperity and your possessions today, anything you have comes from God. You need to understand that. God's been good to you. In Genesis in chapter 24 and in verse 1, the Word of God says this. It says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." Can I tell you something? If you're here today and you're saved, God's blessed you in all things. I got a son and 5 daughters. God blessed me with a good family. They're all grown. They grew up on me and forsook me and fled, got married and all them good things. And I got a house. I've got vehicles. God's been good to me. I've got clothes to wear. God's given me a whole bunch. He's given me every need and a whole bunch of my wants. Amen. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying my prosperity and my possessions come from God, and so do yours.
Amen.
Amen. And you need to understand that. In Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20, the Bible says Abraham tithed of all. You say, why? It was all God's. In Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 19, the Bible says, "My God shall supply my every need, and He has supplied your every need." If you didn't eat this morning, it's probably because you just didn't want to.
Amen.
Right? You probably could have got a shower if you wanted to. You probably went to a closet where there was a whole bunch of clothes.
Yeah. Amen.
You got in a vehicle that God gave you and drove over here to church this morning. Amen. I'm glad you did. You say, what are you talking about? Your prosperity and your possessions come from God. And King David sitting before him, by the way, possessions is the thing possessed. It is land, estate, or things owned. And you know what? You see here, you see a man that realized my prosperity and my possessions come from God. You see something else in that passage. You see his preservation. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, the Bible says that the Lord gave him rest round about from all of his enemies. You know what he had? God preserved him. God protected him. Your protection, your preservation comes from God. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And I'm telling you something, you'd be surprised. I think one of the things about heaven is we're going to get to heaven one of these days and God's going to hit a rewind, you know. And he's going to say, remember when you was going down the road on that highway or you was going down the road? Well, there was a dope head or a drunk over here and they started to go left to center and I had my angel just push him over there and I preserved you.
Amen.
That thing happened so many times. I'm telling you, that's just how it is. Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth about them that love him and fear him. Amen. And I'm telling you, you see David's preservation. The Bible says in Jude 1, you're preserved in Christ Jesus. Amen. In Ephesians 4:30, he sealed you. Ephesians 1:13 sealed you. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5, you Bible says you and I are kept by the power of God. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? So you know what the David here, he sits before God and before he makes this statement, he's looking around, he's sitting in a house of cedars that God provided for him. He says, my prosperity, looks around, he says, my possessions. He looks around, he says, my preservation. He says, it's all from you.
Amen.
And so is yours. So is yours.
Amen.
And then you see his power. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 1, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house, the king and the Lord, see, had given him rest round about from all his enemies. Now, you see, the king, the Bible says the king, David's a king. By the way, if you're saved, so are you. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says God has made us kings and priests. Amen. Now, that's a wild thought. That you, spiritually, today, are a king.
Amen.
He says that same thing in Revelation chapter 5 over there. And Revelation in chapter 5 and in verse 10. You know, power, his power. He's the king. But who's the one that set him up as king? God.
Amen.
His power came from God. And your power comes from God. I wish God's people would understand that.
Yep.
God's people, sometimes we get to the place where we think that we are somebody and something. You know what you are? You're just a little ant.
Yeah. Amen.
You are just, in this great big vast thing, God looks down and, he sees a bunch of little ants moving around and you're one of them. Amen. That's us, isn't it? Just a bunch of little ants. And, you know, you see here his power. Bible says in 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Amen. You know what God gave you? Power. He made you a king. He made you a prince. And here sets the king. I just can't help myself. I'm trying to get somewhere, but there's so much in these verses. I'm addicted. Amen. I have to show you these things that led up to his statement. You notice something here. You see his power. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You say, whose might? His might. You say, why did it say his might? Because you don't have any.
Amen.
You don't have any.
Amen.
Listen, when they gutted me for hernia surgery, that thing ruptured on me. I didn't even know I had one. Well, when you got a little nurse holding you up, because you can't walk, you all of a sudden get real thankful about the days you can. When you get like something like, oh, I don't know, let's just throw a word out there, pancreatitis, and you're laid up in a ball on the floor holding your guts because you hurt so bad and you can't get up,
Yep. You
sure appreciate the days you can.
That's right.
You understand that your power comes from God.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody quotes Philippians 4:13, but nobody really sits around and meditates, muses, and ponders it. That I can see. I can do all things. How? Through Christ.
That's it.
Which strengtheneth me. So, see, it's through Christ, and He's the one that strengthens you. And so if He didn't strengthen you, you couldn't. That's real deep stuff, you know. And you know what? Here you got King David, and he's sitting before God carrying on a conversation. I mean, it's like David's sitting here, and God's sitting there, and they're talking one with another. That's a good relationship.
Yes, sir.
And they're fellowshipping there, and you see David look around, and he says, my prosperity, my possessions, my preservation, and my power. It all comes from you.
Amen.
And so it is with us. It all comes from God. One of the last days in the church, one of the big problems in the last age of the church age is, the Bible says in Romans in chapter 1, neither were they thankful.
Yeah.
Amen. And we've got such an unthankful generation today in which we live. We've got a bunch of people that take for granted the fact that you've got prosperity and possessions and preservations and power from God. Not only do you see all them things, but you see something else in this passage. There's a lot in this passage. And there is in every passage. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 1, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about. Now look at it, from all his enemies. Rest from his enemies. You see his peace. Now, peace is a state of quiet or tranquility. It is freedom from disturbance or agitation. In Galatians in chapter 5 and in verse 22, the Bible says, now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Amen. And you know what? Jesus Christ over there in John, look in John chapter 14. You know, you ought to know this verse. John 14 and verse 27. Everybody knows John 14, 1, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Everybody knows that verse. But look in verse 27 of John chapter 14 and verse 27. He says, peace. That's a good word. Good word, you know, peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. See, the world don't give peace.
That's right.
You understand that? You know what this world's out to do? Make you troubled.
Amen.
You know what this, the agenda of this world is? I mean, if you turn on the television and you watch the news, I hope you're not that dumb. But if you do, you know what they're going to do? They're going to trouble you.
Amen.
That's their agenda.
Amen.
Their agenda is to scare you. Their agenda is to make you fear. Remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Well, the devil does that. He gives you fear through his mediator, and his mediator is the media. Amen. And you know what they do? They inflict fear upon the people. So we've got a bunch of people that say they're saved living in fear.
Amen.
You know what Jesus Christ said? My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. What's the world give? They don't give peace. They trouble you. We've got a generation today in America that lives in fear of everything. Fear of their own government shutting down.
Amen.
Are you kidding? What a laugh, amen. I mean, fear of a make-believe word that is non-existent global warming. Should I laugh? Let's hit rewind 2-3 weeks ago.
Amen.
How's that going? Amen. I mean, we've got a generation living in fear, amen, of the ragheads attacking America. Amen. They want you to live in fear. We've got a generation of, I mean, a race war. They're trying to start again. Amen. That had settled down from the last thing that was in office. Amen. And now they're stirring it all up again. You say, what do you say? They want you to live in fear. Jesus Christ wants you to live in peace. You know what David said? David said, I'm going to tell you what. He sat around in his house and he said, God, you've given me peace.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, if you've got peace today, you've got a whole lot more of what most people got. They ain't got no peace.
Amen.
In fact, in the Word of God, the Bible says concerning peace. I like this. Jesus Christ, He's called the King of Peace, the Lord of Peace, the God of Peace, and the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
That's a lot of peace.
Amen. Amen.
I think he might know something about peace.
Amen.
I mean, with titles like that, I'm talking about not coming apart, but being calm.
Yeah.
You know, you as a Christian ought to be calm in a world that's coming apart.
Right.
You ought to be able to go through these trials and tribulations of your life, amen, with a calmness and a coolness and a conduct that just blows away the Christless generation that's coming apart at the seams, amen. Why? Because they're in the world and of the world, and the world don't give peace. Amen. And so here sits David, the king, a friend of God. And you know what he's doing? He's looking around in a house of cedars that God built him. He says, my prosperity comes from you. He looks around in his rooms, his castle really is what it was. Looks around in that castle, goes from room to room, says, all these possessions you gave me. Amen. God, you preserved me. I'm still living and breathing your air. You protected me. You've given me power. I couldn't whip them enemies by myself. You did it for me. Amen. And God, you've given me peace. No enemies are coming against me.
Amen.
And leading up to the statement in which we read in verse 2, you see David sitting in his house and noticing all these things. Now let me ask you something. When's the last time you sat in your house and noticed all them things? Because every one of us is just like him.
That's right.
It all comes from God. God's been good to you. If God's been good to you, say amen.
Amen.
Now that didn't kill you, did it? Listen, something for God is what we're talking about. The prosperity, the possessions, the preservation, the power, the peace. And then you see here, back in our text in 2 Samuel in chapter 7, 2 Samuel again in chapter 7, and for context, I think I'll read verse 1 again. Came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Now, you know what he began to do? As he noticed his prosperity and his possessions and his preservation and his power and his peace, he began to ponder where it came from.
Right.
Ponder. That's a word that means meditate, muse. It means to think.
Yeah,
it's something America don't do no more.
Amen.
The reason you got a GPS is they don't want you to be able to think for yourself.
Amen.
The reason they give you a television or a hellavision is they don't want you to think. They want the media to think for you. They want to brainwash you and turn you into a communist. Amen.
Yeah.
And the reason, you know, they give you tablets and cell phones and things like that is brainwashing. They don't want you to think. And so David was a strange one in that he pondered some things. Now what he's pondering and thinking about is, God, you've done so much for me. What can I do for you?
Amen.
You know what? Here we come. 2017's gone. I don't know where it went. It just went like a blur for me. I did 80,000 miles at least last year. I ain't figured up my miles yet, but I bet it's over that probably. Traveling around in circles in America, and I'm telling you, I don't know where it went, but I know this. I hit 2018, and I thought, man, I'm getting older. I could drop dead any minute, and I want to do something for God. And here it is, 2018. You're getting older. You could drop any minute. I don't know what you did last year. Maybe you did a whole bunch of things. Maybe you didn't do nothing. What are you going to do this year for God?
Amen.
Has he done something for you?
Amen.
See, what David described here going on in his house is what goes on every day in you and mine. I mean, everything we have came from God. And he's pondering it. He's thinking about it. What can I do for God? You know, that's a good thing. Proverbs in chapter 4, look over there. Proverbs in chapter 4. It's something that used to be the norm and now it's unheard of. Proverbs in chapter 4 and verse 26, the Word of God says this. Ponder, that means think on, meditate, muse. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Amen. You know, that's one of the things you could do this year. You could ponder the path of your feet. What way are you going for God? That's something to think about. That's what David thought about. He's sitting there and he's like, God, you did all this for me. What can I do for you? Something for God. Well, the Bible says, ponder the path of thy feet. What are you going to do? What way are you going to go for God? You going to go the same way you went last year? You know what last year is? Last year is a blur. You know what you can't do? Nothing about last year. You know what you can do? You can do something for God this year. Now, what's it going to be? You ought to ponder the path of thy feet. You ought to remove it from evil. You ought to go forward for God and do something for God this year. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Look over there in, Proverbs in chapter 5 and in verse 6. Bible says, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Now what is he saying? Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Now, what is your path of life? Amen. Now, I'm not just talking about the path of life in that you're breathing air, and what's your path breathing air? Bible says all scripture is given for our learning. It's got more than one application. Let's just flip the thing over and apply it spiritually. Ponder the path of life, that abundant Christian life. What are you doing for Jesus Christ spiritually right now?
Amen.
Huh? You, if you're a member of this church, you ought to be a member of this church that strives to say, this year is going to be the year that I do something for God. I'm going to do more for God this year through my local church than I've ever done before because God's done so much for me.
Amen.
Now that's where we're at. So he's pondering it. And so, last week now I'm just talking about me. You could talk about you. I wasn't here with you. I was where I was. So I can tell you, one of the things I strive for this year is I'm going to be on the street more than just as much as I can. I was home last week trying to gather up things for the mission and everything, and home for about 4 days. And so I preached on the street in New Philly. Preached on a street in Dover, then New Philly, then Dover. Took a church out 2 times street preaching for the first time and tried to explain to that pastor you need to do something for God while you're still breathing air. Amen. And took him out and tried to get him to do something for God. You say, what are you talking about? Just doing something. Standing on a street corner holding a sign. What is that? That's something for God. Just something. You know, you could go soul winning. You could do that. You could go, you could find somebody that likes to run their mouth and talk. You can usually find that in most preachers. Most of us don't come up for breath. And, you know, you could go with somebody that likes to talk to somebody about their soul and just stand there beside them and pray the whole time they're talking to somebody.
Amen.
You say, what would that be? Something for God.
Amen.
Be more than you got right now. It'd be something. And something's better than nothing, which is what most saved people got for God. If you died today and you stood before God, what do you got for God? If you died today, you stopped breathing, and you stood before God, and you get up there at the judgment seat of Christ, and you realize the splendor and the glory of heaven, and you think about that thing, and you're looking around, and you're seeing them seraphims and them cherubims, and you're seeing that throne, and man, you're falling on your face before God, and the Bible says every man is going to give account of himself to God for his works.
Right.
For what you did for God. Something for God.
Right.
If you stood before God today and looked him in the eyeballs, and you will one day,
Right. You
can either throw some gold, silver, precious stones at his feet, or you'll throw ashes. Most Christians are going to show up before God. Their works are all going to burn up because they lived their life for themselves. They went where they wanted to go. They bought what they wanted to buy for themselves. They ate whatever they wanted to eat. They lived their life for self and consumed it on self, and they're going to show up one day before God and everything's going to burn up, and they're going to throw ashes at God, depicting the fact that, you know what, when I was on earth, I lived for myself and didn't do anything for God. Amen. Nothing for God. I'm just trying to encourage you to do something for Him.
Amen.
Just something. Couldn't you go stand beside somebody that's trying to get people to come to church?
Amen.
Could you do that? God's let you walk, right? You can move your feet and legs, right?
That's it.
You know what God's let you? He's let you be able to pray.
Amen.
You could stand at the door by somebody and tell them, somebody telling them how to be saved, and you did something for God.
Amen.
And something's better than nothing. You could do a fair, a festival, a flea market. You could go to a nursing home, a jail, a prison, a detention center. You could bake some cookies for somebody in the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? You could be a blessing to somebody.
Amen.
You could get over you and start thinking about others. That's what Christ thought about.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is still trying to reach a world, and He's trying to do it through a bunch of people that won't let Him. Because we're selfish. The marks of the last day, Laodicean church, is men shall be lovers of their own selves. They love their self. Amen. The Bible says over there, the church is talking, they say, I am rich. I, selfish, am rich. Increased with goods, I got all kinds of stuff. I'm selfish, I got stuff. I have need of nothing. And they think they're okay, but they got nothing for God. And David here sits, and he says, I want something for God. Something. You say, well, them things you're talking about ain't much. Better than nothing.
Right. Amen.
What do you got for Jesus Christ if you died today?
Amen.
Hasn't He done everything for you?
Amen.
Didn't you get it all when you met Him?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you give Him back?
Amen.
What's He got from you? What did He get when He got you? Did He get something? You know, there's a wild verse in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. The Bible says, He is not ashamed to be called their God.
Right.
You know what that means? That means there is a crowd that God is ashamed that they belong to Him.
Yeah.
The Bible says the great accuser, that's the devil, walks up before God and accuses the brethren night and day.
That's right.
He never stops. So that means the devil, if you're saved, brings up your name and says, hey, how about that loser down there that's your son?
Amen.
Lived another day for himself and didn't do nothing for you again.
Yes, sir.
Great accuser.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about something for God. 2017's gone. I don't know what you did. Maybe you did nothing for Him. Maybe you did something for Him. I'm just saying 2018's here. Now, why don't you do something for God?
Amen. Amen.
Why don't you start by getting right with God? Backslid as hell. Show up for Sunday school this morning, you're backslid. You're not right with God. Huh? Happens every week in churches. And you say, why are you talking about this to us Sunday school? We're the ones that are faithful because you're the only ones that'll do anything with it. The losers that are Sunday morning Christians and that's it, probably ain't going to do nothing about it. It's just how it is. Usually the ones that really mean business show up for Sunday school. So here you are.
Amen.
You going to do something for God? Why don't you start by getting right with God? Whatever's in your heart, whatever's in your home that ain't right with God, why don't you get right with God and give it up? Hmm?
Yeah.
Why don't you get addicted to your church? Why don't you say, you know what, this is going to be my church. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to do something for God through this little church till Jesus comes and gets me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep.
Something for God. It's better than nothing,
yeah,
which is what most people got. Well, you see the prosperity, the possessions, the preservation, the power, the peace, and then you see the pondering. I'm just trying to get you to ponder some things. Then you see the problem, and it's the same old problem. You know this problem. It's a problem I have to bring up every time I come here. You say, why? Because it's an epidemic plague. The Bible says in Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, for all. You know who that means? Means you.
Yes, sir.
Means me. for all. Seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Problem is, we're selfish. And you know what we want? Here's the mentality of the church age today. We want something from God instead of something for God. We want something from Him. You know when most people start talking to God is when something went bad and you want a genie in the bottle. You want to rub that genie. You want him to come out, perform for you, fix your problem. Then you want to put him back in the bottle and put him back up on the shelf.
Yes, sir. That's it.
You want something from God instead of something for God.
That's it.
You know, the Bible says you're created for His pleasure in Revelation 4:11. That means you breathe air to bring God pleasure. You breathe air to please God. Amen. The Bible says you're here for His glory. You breathe air to bring Him glory. The Bible says you're created for Him. That means you breathe air for Him. Amen. The Bible says over there in another place, and we go on and on and on through the Scriptures. The Bible says in Colossians over there in chapter 2 that in all things He might have the preeminence. That's not you having the preeminence. That's Him having the preeminence. See, the problem today is we've got a bunch of people that want something from God and don't want to do nothing for God. And that's just how it is. And the God that's given you prosperity and possessions, you know what? It's like that prosperity and then possessions. It's just a weird, wild thought. I don't know about you, but I think weird sometimes. Can you fathom the fact that Jesus Christ said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." He was the door to heaven. And in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the church don't want Him, don't want nothing to do with Him, can't hear from Him. So you've got a door knocking on a door.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. A door. The door. Jesus Christ, knocking on a door.
That's right.
And He's knocking on a door that belongs to Him.
Amen. Yeah.
The door knocks on a door that belongs to Him.
Yes, sir.
And nobody will open the door.
That's
where we're at. And see all this stuff going on in America, all the sodomites. Amen. All the baby butchers, all the ragheads, all the dirt kissing, tree hugging crowd. Amen. All this junk going on in America. See, all that is the effects of a church that just don't care about Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. That's it.
The problem is not them. The problem's us.
Amen.
We don't care. As long as we're what we think anyway, rich and increased with goods, we don't think we have need of nothing. And the world is going to hell. And the world, you know what you've got when I preach on the street or knock on people's doors, you know what you got? You find people that are lost and don't want God, don't care for God. Or you find people so backslid on God that got hurt in a church somewhere and they won't darken the doors of a church.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Or you find somebody that's just bitter on God, don't want nothing to do with the brethren again, and you find a bunch of people that, according to the Word of God, Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, if they're saved, stands at their door, the door, knocking on their heart's door, trying to get in and sup with them and spend time with them and talk to them, and they won't open the door. Why is He knocking on their door? He's looking for somebody to do something for God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something for God. And the problem is, we're selfish. And so, look over here in 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. You see His priority, His plan, His promotion, the prosperity, the possessions, the preservation, the power, the peace, the pondering, the problem. You know, I always thought to myself when I got saved, see, my mama professed to be a witch. She was a drunk and a drug addict, drank her liver out at 59, died and went to hell. It's a bad way to die.
Yes,
all along knowing what she needed to do to be saved and wouldn't trust Jesus Christ. And then there's my dad, 70 years old, without God. All kind of possessions, all kind of pieces of silver, and a good man, never drank, never smoked, worked all his life, going to hell. Because he didn't trust Christ. And being raised in the family I was, with everybody on my mama's side, drunks and dope heads, and my dad's side, for the most part, bikers, drunks, and dope heads. Of course, I came up that way. When I got to the place where I had my first daughter, you know what I thought? I thought, God forbid my daughter be raised the way I was raised. At best, my daughter was going to grow up and be a whore, a drunk, a dope head. That's the hope she had. That's the hope of us, the rest of us kids, the way we was raised, and it happened just as it would. And so I thought, I don't want my daughter to grow up that way. I started looking for a God that nobody had the guts to tell me about. And when I got saved, you know what I thought? I thought, my house is not going to be raised like the house I grew up in.
Yes,
so now I got a boy that travels around and preaches.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
Now I got daughters that stayed pure until the day they married and married boys that I trained.
Amen.
You say, what made the difference? I just thought, I'm going to do something for God.
Yes, sir.
You say, why? Because He rescued me and did so much for me.
Amen.
And He rescued you. And He's done something for you. Now, why don't you do something for God? In 2 Samuel in chapter 18 over here, 2 Samuel in chapter 18, I'm just talking about something for God. Anything would be better than nothing. Why don't you do something for God this year? I told a fellow not too long ago what you ought to do. I talked to him a couple nights ago on the phone. I said, I know a little church that needs a pastor. And I said, you could go up there and grow old pastoring them people and teaching them how to do something for God. Because everybody in most of the folk in that church never did anything for Him.
Amen.
Their families look just like the world, act like the world, talk like the world. You could go up there and change people's lives, just do something for God.
Amen.
We just take, and never give. Jesus Christ said it's better to give than to receive. What have you given God? He's given you a lot. You've received a lot, haven't you? 2 Samuel chapter 18, look over here in verse 19. The Bible says this. 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. In verse 33, I think I've showed you this before, but it's a good place to end. The king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he wept, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Chapter 20, 28 verses 29, you see something there. You say, what is it? You see a man that forgot about the important things of life in the midst of all that kingdom. I'm telling you what, you want to start doing something for God, you ought to start in your home.
Yes, sir.
How's your home different than anybody else's home?
Amen.
I mean, if you're saved, how's your home different than the heathen's home?
Right.
Most people's homes are exactly like the heathen's. You walk into their living room and the place they bow down and worship is a great big screen TV.
Yep.
Daddy don't read the Bible to his wife and children. There's no family devotions. The family don't pray together. Daddy don't teach the family anything about God.
Yep.
It just resembles a heathen's home.
Amen.
Then you come to the house of God, and the reason most children, when they grow up, say, I don't want daddy and mommy's God, is they came to a church that was just dead, that lived for themselves and never did something for God. And the heathen that are round about look at Christianity today trying to locate the Christ that supposedly dwells inside the Christian, but they can't see Christ because of a camouflaged Christian that fits in with the world real good. And so you ought to have something for God going on in your home as a starting place.
Amen.
Then you ought to come into the house of God, your local church, where you ought to be a member, where you ought to tithe and give and go out of and do something for God.
Right.
You ought to come into the house of God and do something for Him to change your church. Your church could sing better if you'd sing better.
Amen.
Right? You say, man, I wish our church would grow. Why don't you show up Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night?
Amen.
That'd be a good way to start growing.
Right.
And then when you go out into the midst of the heathen, whether it's a nursing home, a jail, or wheresoever you go, pass out gospel tracts, invite them to your church, and do something for God.
Yes, sir.
And then when you stand before Him one day, you'll, like David, be able to sit across from Jesus Christ. You won't sit. You'll fall on your face. But at least you'll be able to look Him in the eye and say, I didn't do much, but I did something. And something's better than nothing.
Yes, sir.
And most Christians, if they died today, got nothing for God.
Amen.
And the God that gave to them everything they have,
yeah,
they never gave Him a thing back. Something for God. Let me ask you something. How's 2018 going to be different than 2017?
Yes, sir.
Is there going to be any difference? Going to be the same old rerun. Another rerun, huh? You know what most Christians' lives are? I'll preach on it one of these days when I come here. Their life's a rerun.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Their home life is a rerun. It's so predictable. And it's the same people in it. It's a predictable thing. Your home life is just the same every day, day in and day out. There's nothing different. You come to the house of God, it's the same services every time. You know how many songs are going to be sung. You know how long the preacher's going to be preaching. And in most churches, you just figure it's going to be a salvation message. Well, they're going to be disappointed this morning. Because some of us know a little Bible and we don't have to preach on being saved every week.
That's right.
Amen. Why would a preacher preach on being saved every week to people that are saved?
Yes,
that's
sir.
Stupid.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And then wonder why their people don't know any Bible. That'd be it.
That's it.
And they go out in the midst of the heathen and it's another rerun. You just ignore them and let them go to hell. God, help these few folk that have come out for Sunday school. God, I want to help them. I want to be a blessing to them. I just want to be your mouthpiece. And thank you for putting your words in this dumbass's mouth and letting this dumbass speak this morning. God, as you did another ass in the Bible. And I pray, my God, now that you'd help your people to not just hear it, but to do something with it. I pray, God, that 2018 wouldn't be a rerun of 2017. Pray these folk here this morning would get serious for you and get a vendetta to want to go out and do something for you to make a difference before you come back. Dismiss us with your blessing, please, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.